Good morning, and welcome to the services of the Lord's House for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. We are here to receive from our Lord and our Savior his blessings and his good word. Let us begin this morning by singing our opening hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, September 22nd, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Casey Jones. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 686, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, hymn 686 found in the Lutheran service book. Doug and Angie Marlin are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in honor of their 34th wedding anniversary. Reverend John and Jeanette Johnson are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in loving memory of their daughter, Wendy Strosher.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies, and your faithfulness put an end to them.
With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the first article?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from James, the third chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the verse. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples went on from there and passed through to Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our common Christian faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there's any children who'd like to come forward for the children's message, you may do so at this time. Yeah, it's raining outside. Yeah, you two got puddle jumping boots on. How about that? That's all right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to try something today. I'm going to change what I was going to do because I saw something in the bulletin this morning and it made me think of something else. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to be patient with me and maybe Pastor can figure out what he's doing this morning, okay? All right. So I want to ask, okay, for your favorite meal, favorite thing to eat. Now, if you had only one meal left to go, like this is it, and then you have to leave your parents' house, what do you think your favorite meal would be? What's your favorite? AJ, what's your favorite food?
A sandwich.
All right. All right. What's your favorite food?
Salad.
Salad. Oh. Yep.
Bosco sticks.
You know, I hear that's very popular at the grade schools.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a very popular hot lunch when it's on. Carson?
Pancakes.
Oh, that's a good... Billy? Mac and cheese. Yeah, mac and cheese. Caleb, what do you like to eat? Yeah? You like mac and cheese too? All right, that's good. Well, I was thinking, because, well, I visited somebody yesterday. I'm sure you visited people before, right? And I visited a gentleman in the nursing home yesterday. And you probably don't remember him. Folks out here do. It was Paul. Paul used to sit up in the corner over there. He's a good friend with Doug. Doug worked with him for years and whatnot. And he's tired. He's just really tired now. And this fourth verse of the opening hymn made me think of him. It says, "Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, clothed and in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels soon to carry me to realms of endless day." You know what? He's getting close to having his last good meal. You know what, Paul? Paul doesn't want to eat much anymore. And I was talking to him about that. And he was sitting in his bed, and I said, "Paul, not eating much these days, are you?" And he looked at me, and he raised his finger, pointed to my bag I take in with me, and said, "That communion, that's the only meal I need." Wow. That was really something. He had an opportunity for a few more meals, but he only wanted one. The meal he wanted was Holy Communion, the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar. And that comes because the Holy Spirit's working in him. The Holy Spirit, even though he is getting slower and slower, the Holy Spirit is increasing his faith day by day by day. And that's because, you know, when he was your age, he was here. He was doing the same things you're doing, coming to church, praying the Lord's Prayer, learning the Creed, confessing his sins, and, well, that's something he's done his whole life. And the Holy Spirit has kept working in him even to this day. And so, yeah, he's looking forward to the angels coming and taking him to the realms of endless day. And you know what? That's something we look forward to, too. And I hope all of us will be able to say someday when asked what our favorite meal is, that we can say the bread and wine of Holy Communion. That meal there, that's my favorite. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray for our favorite meal, that we would each desire to receive the sacrament of the altar. And we pray for Paul, who's nearing the end of his earthly life. We pray that you would bear him up and keep him in your care. Watch over him, and in your time and according to your will, send the angels to carry him home. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, thank you for listening, and thank you for letting me change what I was going to do to something different this morning. All right. Why don't you head back to your families, and we'll continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is number 594, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, hymn 594 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text from today's gospel reading. If anyone would be first, he must be last and a servant of all. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is full of choices. We're faced with choices every single day. Now, I, for one, I am in that camp where I am of those type of people who wish life was easy. I really wish that I could coast through life, not putting too much effort into it and getting double out of it. That's kind of what I was hoping for, you know, all my life and everything like that. I want everything to be easy. I want marriage to be easy. I want raising kids to be easy. I want interpersonal relationships to be easy. I want my faith to be easy. I want understanding the Christian faith to be easy. And I also want putting that faith into action to be easy. So now you know I'm lazy, just so you know. In our text for today, though, Jesus is very clear to his disciples that following the Christ, following Jesus, being a Christian, is not an easy road. What does Jesus say? The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. He knows he will be betrayed by one of his own. He knows he'll be handed over to political and religious leaders who will care more for personal preservation than they will care for justice. These men will carry out the great injustice upon Jesus, the Son of God, so that God's justice will be satisfied. And why will this happen? It'll happen because Jesus will satisfy the wrath of God. And why does Jesus have to satisfy the wrath of God? He must satisfy the wrath of God because we can't satisfy God's wrath. Jesus will keep the law of God in our place because we can't keep the law of God at all. He will bear in his flesh the punishment for the sin of the world. We say it over and over again. Jesus died on the cross. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus died on the cross for me. We say it over and over. We are so far removed from the actual event, and it's so near and dear to us, and we're so familiar with it, that like some things that are near and dear to us and we're familiar with, we kind of end up taking for granted. We repeat the sacrifice of the cross so often, perhaps we have drained it of its true force. Jesus knew the horror that he was facing. And it wasn't just the torture of crucifixion. Jesus knew he'd be bearing in his flesh the sins of the world. He knew that he would suffer abandonment by his Father, that is to suffer the pain and the agony of hell. He knew he was going to do it in our place, for us, on our behalf. Now, I honestly don't know why the disciples were reluctant to question Jesus further on this. Perhaps it was just that the horror of Jesus being crucified was something they just didn't want to contemplate. Maybe, I don't know. I guess it's pointless to speculate. We'll just be clear on the fact that they didn't get it yet. They didn't understand it yet. They didn't know what was going on yet. They didn't grasp it. In fact, they were so far from grasping it that they were discussing and debating their positions and what their positions would be when the kingdom of God came into its full glory. It was something like this, I would imagine. Philip, oh, you're fit to be an ambassador. Yeah, that would be your job. And Judas, of course, Judas, you'll be secretary of the treasury, of course. And Matthew, you're going to head up the IRS, aren't you? And Matthew's like, will you guys give it a rest? So I was a tax collector, okay? You know, what are you going to say to me next time? And they're arguing back and forth. And Simon Peter, you better not be the press secretary. That would be bad for you. You talk too fast and too much. You know, so I don't know what this conversation looked like, but that's how I imagine it would go. Something like that. They all knew they'd have positions of authority in Jesus' kingdom. But which one would get which and who'd have the greater position? They were kind of arguing back and forth about that. As a matter of fact, we were talking about this at Circuit Pastors Conference, and this text, and one of the pastors said, yeah, it was probably like a five or six guys standing at a batting cage around a bucket of balls and a speed gun, you know, betting on which one's going to throw the fastest and the hardest. You know, something like that. Maybe a conversation like that. So, but they were convinced that they'd all be important, just that some of them would be a little more important than the others. And Jesus called them out on it. He just flat out called them out on it. Hey, while we were walking here, what were you guys talking about on the road? They were ashamed. They were quiet about it. They were what we would call in our day busted by Jesus. Yes, because in divine omniscience, Jesus knew that they were arguing about who would be the greatest. He also knew they still thought he would have an earthly kingdom. Come here, fellas, he said. Sit down. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Jesus had recently told of his own servant's death. He was going to die on the cross. And now he follows up with just what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it look like? It looks like something as our lives go on and on and on. And Jesus says to be his follower, it looks like being a servant. And the problem was, the more I thought about it, the more I wrestled with it, the more I pondered it, the more I realized I haven't the foggiest idea what that means. Maybe it's just too overwhelming, or maybe I just couldn't narrow the scope down enough that I couldn't figure out what being a servant would look like or what it would mean. But I do know this. I want to give you the sense of what Jesus is saying. If anyone proposes, he says, if anyone has the will and the determination to be first among my disciples, to be first in the kingdom of God, he will put everybody else ahead of him. And then he himself will take the last place. The great will become servants. Or perhaps the servants are the great ones. Now what we see here is that this involves an act of the will. As so much in our life is. Be it homework, regular work, dieting, all kinds of things. It involves an act of the will. We have to make up our mind to do it. We have to make a decision to do it. A person who wants to be great among Christians, indeed the greatest among Christians, has to make up their mind daily to be a servant to others. And the thing is that in earthly matters, there can only be one greatest. But in heavenly matters, being greatest of all is open to all. You know, I started off by saying I wanted everything to be easy. I know it's not. Nothing good is easy. Nothing godly comes easy. To be greatest in the kingdom of heaven isn't easy, but it is to set one's will and focus on being a servant. It doesn't just happen. We choose to do it. Being a servant doesn't fall into one's lap. It requires effort, a choice, your own volition. And I finally came to the conclusion this week that there are as many ways to be a servant as there are opportunities to be a servant. As many ways to be a servant as there are situations in life. And in a display of visual learning, Jesus calls a child from the house, a child running around the house, calls the child over to him. And by the way, just as an aside, it appears that Jesus was exceptionally happy to have kids around when he was teaching his disciples. Just like we want to be fine with having kids in church with us, we don't want them to be banished to the basement with coloring pages and applesauce and say of church, just like we say of Grandpa's beer and bags game, no, that's not for you. Church is for the Father's children. All the Father's children, all whom the Son gave his life for. But again, that's just an aside. That's just a moment for now. Jesus calls a child and scoops the child up in his arms, and Jesus says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Jesus isn't talking about those people who are new to the faith. For goodness sake, he has a child in his arms. What is a child an example of? A child is an example of the helpless, those needing served. For the Greek word meaning child here is pointing us to someone who is of an age where all their needs would have to be taken care of for them. They weren't yet ready to feed themselves, clothe themselves, wash themselves. They needed help. They needed watched over and taken care of. It's just like Jesus did for us. For at the right moment, while you were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were lost, while we were helpless, while we were without hope, Christ rescued us by giving his life for us. Jesus is the servant king, and we, his people, are to be servants to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to make the choice to serve. And that's where it gets hard. For each and every one of us are afflicted with original sin. Original sin that prompts us at worst to seek to be served, and when our ego's puffed up, and at best to work really hard to be recognized as servants. Then comes the question that I had in my mind. What is servanthood? Well, our epistle reading gives us the exact opposite of servanthood. We can take a look at that. Is it just being a nice person? It's got to be more than being a nice person. It involves a disposition of our hearts and minds and our wills. It's certainly not being a doormat for others, and it certainly doesn't mean getting taken advantage of. Sometimes serving means saying the hard things to loved ones. Other times, serving brothers and sisters in Christ means sacrificing our time to help them. And still at other times, it means running the risk of getting hurt by those we are serving or helping. Serving means exhaustion. It means caring for our babies and for our parents and everything in between. Especially, it means bringing the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to those around us, the message of forgiveness, the message of reconciliation and salvation in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Is it hard? Yes. Is it humbling? Yes, it is. Will we often fail? You better believe it. We will often fail at this. Will we confess and be forgiven? The answer to that, too, is a resounding yes. We will. But through this adventure that we call life, through this time that we spend as Christ's servants here on earth, let us choose to be servants. And let us choose in such a way as to bring glory to our Savior. In his name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now arise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus Christ, you have called us to lives of service to both our brothers and our sisters in your name, and to those who do not yet know your name. Help us to follow in your footsteps and see the needs of in our own families, our church family, and in those around us, so that in loving kindness we might become your hands and your feet in this world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
O Lord of hosts, give our synod's leaders and all pastors the wisdom that comes down from above, that they may be peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Let them sow among us in peace and grant a harvest of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Uphold this world in your order, O Lord. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Bless our homes that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. Give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in your loving kindness, you do not leave your children to suffer alone, but promise to care for all who call upon your name. Bless the homebound, the lonely, the depressed, and the anxious, those preparing for surgery, especially Judy Smith as she prepares for a knee replacement, and Helen Connect as she will have a medical procedure later this week to relieve her of bodily pain and discomfort. We ask that you grant to Judy and Helen the relief they seek and a swift recovery. We also thank you for the successful surgery given to Will Boose and ask that his recovery and healing be blessed by your hand, even as we continue to ask the same for Reese Voley and his healing. And we add to our prayers for his parents that you would assure them of your presence and your love and care. For those in distress, we ask that you would relieve all their ills of body and soul and grant them your peace. We also ask you to hear our prayers on behalf of Paul Hines as he longs to be called to his heavenly home. For not only is he weary, but he also longs faithfully to be in your presence. O Lord, send your angels to Paul or give him the strength to continue to run his race. May your will in his life be done. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, in your time and according to your will, you opened the wombs of women to the miracle of childbirth. Accept now the thanksgiving of Isabel and Peyton Rangel and of the Thompson family that Isabel is with child. We are bold to ask that mother and daughter be kept safe during the pregnancy and that the baby will be blessed not only with health and vitality, but also with the hearing of your word in the womb so that your Holy Spirit bring faith unto her. Lord, in your mercy. Father, grant that what we ask from you may not be squandered after our passions, but be sought rightly in faith, that we may receive and put them into the service for you and our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the Internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you.
Please rise. O Lord, all those prayers in our hearts and on our minds we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. The closing hymn is number 851, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, hymn 851 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. A couple announcements that we have this morning. First of all, our coffee hour this morning is a special coffee hour for Christian Education Appreciation Sunday. So after church, everyone's invited to retire over there. And as we thank those who are involved in the Christian education of the congregation. And this afternoon from 4 to 5:45 is youth group. Ooh, where'd that come from? I'm 56 years old, my voice cracked. Oh, well. Anyway, it's youth group at 4 to 5:45 tonight. That's junior high and senior high together. Bring a drink or a snack to share. So bring either one, a drink with you or a snack to share. And I see Sarah Schwann standing there with what seems to be a proposed budget for the congregation for our, wait for it, voters assembly in October. So, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. And that would be the fourth Tuesday in October at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. Big voters meeting, as it is every year, election of officers and voting on the church's budget. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.